celebrated last week the Feast of the Ascension, how Christ was taken away from his physical presence in this world so that he could be present in a deeper way, in a more real way, spiritually, no longer confined to time or space. And he does this through today's feast, this Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descending upon the disciples, the beginning of the church, an outgrowth of what the Jewish religion had been celebrating for centuries, this Feast of the Harvest. And it is all of these things, but it is so much more. Because if we simply want to relegate Pentecost to these grand moments, whatever they might be, we're missing out on so much. We're missing out on the moment that we are born to eternal life at our baptism. We're missing out on the strengthening of that Spirit in confirmation. We're missing out on that daily miracle when the words of consecration are spoken over the bread and the wine, and they become the body and the blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, we bring the season of Easter to a close today. But if it weren't for this feast that we celebrate, Easter would just be a one-day thing. Much like an anniversary, perhaps, a birthday, an event in ancient history, something that we would recognize, but not something that would have an impact in our lives. It is with the gift of the Holy Spirit that we go outside of time at every Mass. We enter into the Passion of Christ. We sit with His disciples at the Last Supper. We are there with Him as He goes through His Passion. We are there with Him as He rises from the dead. That same Spirit that hovered over the waters at the dawn of creation. That same Spirit that came down upon Mary when she was conceived with Jesus Christ. That same Spirit that descended upon the apostles. That same Spirit is here. And He is alive and He is active in our lives. But are our eyes open to this? Or do we look for Him only in those grand events, the extraordinary? St. Cyril of Alexandria tells us the Holy Spirit changes those in whom He comes to dwell and alters the whole pattern of their lives. With the Holy Spirit within them, it is quite natural for people who are absorbed by the things of this world to become otherworldly, and for cowards to become men of great courage. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, we know them: wisdom and understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, the fear of the Lord, fortitude. Not seven random gifts, and not seven gifts that are only given to a select few. These gifts are there for each and every one of God's children. We receive them in the sacraments. Much like the sunlight is a gift for every one of God's children. If we receive 8 hours of sun, it doesn't mean that there's 8 hours of sun less for anyone else to receive. And the sun, as great and as glorious as it is still a finite creation. These gifts, the source, come right from God Himself, infinite, and they are infinite gifts for us. So how do we respond to the Holy Spirit in our lives? We can be like the apostles there before the Spirit descended upon them, hidden away, afraid of the world. We can be like those that had heard that Christ had risen from the dead but refused to believe. He appeared to these women, but the apostles didn't want to believe the women. They couldn't understand why He didn't come to them first instead of the woman. We can close our hearts like Thomas and refuse to believe unless I put my hand in His side, put my hand in the nail marks. We can be like the Pharisees and demand He conform to us. Come down from the cross. I'll believe as soon as you do what I demand you to do. We can be like St. Augustine. Give me Your grace, Lord, but just not today. We can say these gifts are only for special people. They're there for the religious. They're there for the priests. They're there for the bishops, the pope. Yeah, they're there for special times, a church council, the election of a pope. But they're not there in all of the moments of my life. We can look for the Spirit in someone speaking in tongues. Kind of like looking for those 4th of July fireworks. As they blow up, they light up everything around, but then they're gone. These things always happen outside of us. They always happen to others. And we miss out on living in that Spirit. We miss out on living in that light. We can say for some reason, I don't think the Spirit really grabbed hold of me at my baptism. I don't think the Spirit really grabbed hold of me at my confirmation. It happened to others that were with me, but not to me. We can put demands on our acceptance. We can do any of these things, or we can trust. And we know that the Spirit did enter into our lives at our baptism and our confirmation. And these gifts are there. They're there like the sunlight is there. We can hide away. We can keep the doors closed. But the invitation is there for all of us just to crack that door just a little bit and let the light of the Spirit pour into our lives. Looking for the Spirit only in these extraordinary gifts, extraordinary moments, we miss the power of the Spirit in the ordinary moments, the everyday moments, the most mundane moments of our lives, when we make wise choices, when we are faithful, when we seek to unite rather than divide. The Spirit is at work in us. Or as St. Paul tells us, we are called to live in that Spirit and not in the flesh. And he gives us examples of both. A good reference, I think, for our next examination of conscience, getting ready for the Spirit, the sacrament of confirmation, sacrament of reconciliation. What are the fruits in my life? What are the things that are going on in my life? And if I look at them, I can see where I'm attached, or maybe inordinately attached. Is my life filled with rivalry, jealousy, selfishness, drinking to excess, drugs, immorality, lust, idolatry, hatred, division, factions in my life? Or is my life a life of joy and peace, patience and gentleness, kindness, self-control, unity? Those are the gifts of the Spirit as opposed to the gifts of what the flesh holds, what the spirit of the world holds. The gifts of the Spirit are here among us. And yes, each one of us has different spirit, different gifts, but the source of every one is the same. Jesus Christ tells us that he who was in you is greater than he who was in the world. Pope St. Leo tells us that there is a unique thing about Pentecost. It is not that the Spirit has just begun to be active, but it is that he is active in every person. He is no longer relegated to prophets and kings, but he is there for each and every one of God's children. It is not about the power to speak in tongues. It is about the power of the Spirit to speak in all of human languages of what God has done. Like the apostles in our first reading, we need to be open to what the Spirit desires for each of us. These gifts that allow us to live our Christian lives in a world that is in so many ways turning away from Christianity. To be not afraid. And yes, living in the Spirit can be unnerving, but it is never fearful. So we ask, where will God lead me? What does he have in mind for me? We might say, I'm quite comfortable in my life. Things are good. My faith is good. Just leave me alone. We're not called to be left alone. We're not called to be comfortable in our faith life. Maybe we think that my whole life, everything is under control. Well, maybe. But under whose control? Mine or the Spirit's? If we open our hearts, cooperating with the Spirit that God is sending, cooperating with him in our lives, he will transform us in ways we can never imagine, one at a time. But through transforming each and every one of us, he will transform our families. He will transform our parish. He will transform our city. He will transform our world as we build his kingdom and wait for his return.